2. The headline news is broke through.
Apocalypse.
3-4, soldier. 100 horsemen at your door.
You're listening to Entertain Us from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Chris Molina.
And I'm Halima Shah. And oh, look at the time. It is time to talk about the end of times.
Of course it is. So we've got Sarah Goodyear with us, who's a freelance writer and a bit of an expert on the apocalypse, at least the fictional kind.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I really want to know, is it just us or are we living in a time that is particularly interested and fascinated by the apocalypse?
Well, when I looked into it for the piece that I wrote, I found that there have been phases of interest in the apocalypse that go back, you know, certainly to medieval times and before, and a lot of even older mythology deals with the idea that the world could end. Obviously, the Noah's Ark story is sort of an apocalypse story. And then also, in our own times, when there is an actual existential threat on the horizon, I think that apocalyptic narratives become very appealing to people because it allows them to know what was really important in life. There's a very interesting apocalyptic book called Station 11, and that is an apocalypse that is brought on by a disease outbreak. So there's this terrible pandemic flu that sweeps over the globe, and she follows a group that travels around North America and does Shakespeare and music for people. And that's, to me, very interesting, that what you would try to hold on to when everything else had collapsed would be something artistic rather than just, you know, how do we get food?
So I want to get back to the piece that you wrote here. You wrote about there being several flavors of the apocalypse. You mentioned one, the disease and super virus type that was in Station 11. What are the other kinds of, I guess, apocalypses that we might see in pop culture?
Let's see, what do we have? We have disease, climate, nuclear war, asteroid is also something that we can pretend in our minds that we would be able to do something heroic about. That's what Armageddon is really about, that movie.
What is this thing?
It's enormous.
It's an asteroid, sir. It's the size of Texas, Mr. President.
What kind of damage?
Total, sir.
My God.
Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
What do we do?
We blow this thing up from the inside. How?
We drill. We bring in the world's best deep core driller.
The United States government just asked us to save the world.
I'm with you.
Of course, I'm in.
Can't let you go up there alone.
Come on.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Aliens, of course, mm-hmm. are very popular. You know, do they come roaring in and just crush us, or do they hide amongst us and subvert us? And really, you know, I think zombies are sort of a side apocalypse where they can embody some of the same fears. The other one is sort of the fertility or the, you know, the loss of ability to reproduce. That's right. That's another. And then there's like the robot, the rise of the machine, the Terminator narrative is another one. I mean, it's really, there are just so many different ways for the world to end.
Well, it sounds like there is a lot to choose from. And when you said zombie, I saw Chris shaking his head. I mean, we can have our preferences now about what kind of apocalypse we like or don't like.
Yeah, personally, I'd go with the robot uprising, but that's just me.
Well, here's my question is, so when you talk to people about the apocalypse coming, I find people are in one of two camps. Either they think that they're the kind of person who would be able to be one of the survivors, one of the leaders, one of the people who would fight on and somehow make it through. Or I have some friends who just say, oh my God, I would be one of the first people to die. So what about you guys? Do you think that you would fare well in an apocalypse?
Survivor. Total survivor.
I'm glad you are, because I think I would die within the
really?
First 5 or 10 minutes.
No, Chris, you could make
it. You think so? Really?
I think you could. You could use, like, the power of humor to, you know, maybe, like, get people to keep you around.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that there are some apocalyptic scenarios in fiction that have used humor to try to inject a little bit of something into a pretty bleak scenario.
I'm even thinking of Doctor Strangelove right now, which I feel like is going to have a new relevance given U.S.-North Korea relations. But that was one that really It didn't only make fun of the idea of an apocalypse. It made fun of the idea of people who were worrying about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think I actually saw Dr. Strangelove again in a theater recently, and I watched it with my 15-year-old son, and it was very funny, and we laughed a lot. And even though it's so funny, it still manages to be really dark. It's a tough line to walk, but, you know, that one does it very successfully. And it's also the idea that even as you're scrambling to survive and you think that you're going to survive, that actually there's some crazy random thing happening that's dooming you anyway. So all your illusions of being a hero and being in control and being a survivor are just that, they're illusions.
Now, I know, Sarah, that you have your preferences when it comes to apocalyptic movies, and it has something to do with transportation.
Oh, yes. Well, it's just a little complaint that I have because so I wanted to develop a plan. How would I get out of New York City if there was some kind of disaster? But I ride bicycles everywhere. And so I thought, okay, we'll have a bicycle plan. But it's a real problem with apocalypse movies. People are never riding bicycles in apocalypse movies. That's exactly what people would be doing. You don't need fuel. They're easy to repair. And as a matter of fact, I can do a lot of basic bike mechanics. And so that's what I think would be my skill that I would be able to market myself in an apocalyptic economy and maybe, you know, get my survival rations by changing tires and doing basic wrenching on a bike. So that's my plan for the apocalypse, is to be like the person who helps people with their bicycles.
Now I'm imagining writing this work of apocalyptic fiction where something happens and all of the roads in America get destroyed, except for the bike lanes, and that's the only thing. I think I'm onto something here. But that does remind me of something that I wanted to ask you about. It seems like filmmakers and other content creators throughout the years have sort of used the backdrop of the apocalypse to work out just whatever ridiculous scenario or concept is in their head. We were chatting before this interview about this made-for-TV movies that I saw when I was a kid. This was a movie called The Atomic Train, which came out in 1999, starring a very young Rob Lowe. This thing was 170 minutes long, and the whole idea was there was a nuclear warhead on a train that was speeding for Denver, and it was going to blow up Denver, and Rob Lowe, I'm assuming it was him, had to stop it. It was sort of like nuclear speed,
right?
And it was this ridiculous concept, and it seems like you can come up with whatever concept you want, and you can justify it by having, you know, the apocalypse in the background, but does that excuse bad movies and bad fiction from being made?
No, it doesn't excuse it. And I think that, you know, yes, sometimes the apocalypse is just a plot device that people throw in because they're desperate and they don't have anything else to raise the stakes with. And it sounds like that Rob Lowe movie, which I had never heard of, is definitely an example of that.
Yeah, I would encourage you to stay away from that one. So, like, on both ends, stay away from the road and stay away from Atomic Train.
Okay.
So, Sarah, We never got a chance to ask you the same question of what scenario do you think you would be in? Would you be a survivor or a perisher in an apocalyptic scenario?
I would absolutely be a survivor, and I would be a leader. I would be a total badass in an apocalypse.
Nice.
I'm envisioning like Sarah Goodyear's like biker gang as they, you know, hoof it out on their 10 speeds away from like a radioactive New York or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'd be also somehow shooting bows and arrows at the same time.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thank you.
Sarah Goodyear is a writer based in New York.
And definitely the person I'd want to be the leader of my bike gang at the end of the world.
3-4 soldier, 100 horsemen at your door.